Good morning. I'm going to be reading from Genesis 39 and 40, so we can turn to Genesis 39, verse 1 through 8. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge in his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. Now verse 11. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Now, verse 16. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "The Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was held responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now Genesis 40, 1 through 8. Some time later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them in the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Now verse 14. "But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison." Verse 23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the title of the series is A Cup of Joe, Bring the Heat. And as I told you last week, the series title has nothing to do with the messages. So thank you, Janeda, for reading for us. Basically, last week we started a whole new sermon series. And basically, if you sum it up in one word, this series is about destiny. It's about how things will turn out in the end, what God has for you and for me, what his design is, what God's best is for you and for me. And we said last week that every day, in every way, even in every say, God is moving us towards our destiny. Who you and I are going to become, ultimately, God is doing daily. Amen? And we believe that he's doing it. And we believe that Genesis Joe, that's who we're reading about. We're reading about Genesis Joe, not Jesus Joe, not baby daddy Joseph, that guy. We're not talking about that guy. There were actually two Josephs in the Bible. And there's actually a whole lot more about this Joseph than that Joseph. Right? We're talking about Genesis Joe. Not to be confused with G.I. Joe. Genesis Joe. Genesis Joe had a destiny. And we're looking at the days towards his destiny. And so we looked last week about the pity days towards destiny. And we looked at how he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And so just to back up one more chapter, basically Jesus is the answer. We're always talking about Jesus here. Joseph was a boy, 17. He was chosen by his father, and he carried the favor of the family. And his brothers, he had 11 other brothers. They resented him. They thought he was a spy. They couldn't stand him. And so one day when he was coming to spy on them, they got upset with him, and they stripped him. They ripped him, and they threw him in a pit. Then they ultimately sold him into slavery. And we pick up the story as he's being shipped to Egypt with these people called the Ishmaelites. And so he then eventually is sold from his brothers to the Ishmaelites to this man named Potiphar. And Potiphar was one of the bodyguards of Pharaoh. He was one of the army people. And we realize that now he has this slave, Joseph. But things get really interesting. Joseph is carrying still the favor of God, and he begins to gain more and more responsibility. He begins to be able to care for a lot more things. Potiphar begins to trust Joseph, and it comes to the point where Potiphar's in charge of everything. The only two things that Potiphar cares about is eating and his wife. He's not caring for anything else. Joseph is taking care of everything else. And so we find ourselves in verse 6 of chapter 39, and the boss's wife takes interest in Genesis Joe. And she says, hey, listen, you're a good-looking guy. I want to possess my possession. I mean, that's what he was, right? Genesis Joe was a slave. He was a piece of property to Potiphar. He was a piece of property to Mrs. Potiphar. And so Mrs. Potiphar wants to possess her possession. And Joe rebuffs her advance. And we see that Genesis Joe is able to be trusted under pressure. That's going to be a really good character trait going forward. He can be trusted under pressure. And for people to say, well, come on, it wasn't that hard. I mean, you know, he knew. No, listen, temptation, I better get a hearty amen after this one. Temptation is only temptation because it's tempting. It's not temptation if it doesn't tempt you. And so the reason why this is temptation is because Joseph's rebuff wasn't like, girl, get out of here. It was like, oh no. You know, like, right? It's only a temptation if it's tempting. And so to think that we paint Joseph as this steel-clad, like, you're crazy, get out of here. That's not true. I don't think that's true. I think that this was very difficult for Genesis Joe, right? We realize that he was tempted, and he rebuffs her advance. And Mrs. Potiphar tells the story of how she was raped in verse 19. And Joseph ends up in prison. And so what we find out is that Joseph's obedience, Joseph's righteousness, cost him something. Now that seems really odd. Like when we want to follow Jesus and we want to have a relationship with God, we have some idea that our lives are going to be perfect now. That we're never going to suffer because we're riding with God. That's just not the case. That's just not the truth. That Joseph's obedience cost him his clothes. He left his cloak back. It cost him his job. He had a really good job. It cost him his freedom. So he was in rags in the pit. Then he became riches in Potiphar's house. Now he's back to rags. Even worse, more severe conditions. He first was in the pits. Now he's in prison. What a boy's burden when he was 17 turned into a full-blown life crisis, right? I mean, he was just in a pit. His brothers were playing a trick on him. They threw him in a pit, then they sold him. But now we have gone to the next level. He's no longer just in a pit. He's no longer just neglected by his brothers. He now is in prison. A full-blown life crisis. Surely now the dream and the plan that God had designed for Joseph would be wrecked. It would be over. There's no way what God's design was for Joseph could ever be fulfilled from the prison. However, every step of Joseph's life was along the road to his destiny. Every step, every event, the pit and the prison. I mean, look at about it this way. Let's just look at it from a different angle. We realize that the punishment for rape would have definitely been execution. If you're messing around with the boss's wife back in that day, and she's telling the story that you did this to her, there's no way you're not executed. But for some reason, he's given prison. And it's very clear to me is that God was with Joseph. And he was leading him to his destiny. And he would need him to be alive when he arrived. Right? So just when you think, you know what, it's going to go down. I'm done. It's over. I mean, there's just no way. If you aren't done, God's not done. God needs you alive when you arrive. Right? So he's not going to allow things to happen that are not for your good. Joe does Joe. He's obedient. He continues to carry his favor. He's recognized as faithful. He's living based on his convictions. He's heading towards his destiny. But now all of a sudden, he finds himself in the basement precinct of Potiphar's house, persecuted. Persecuted. I mean, we know that he was shackled in by his hands. He was shackled by his feet. There was a shackle around his neck. And he could not move himself. He was, in a word, stuck. He was trapped. But right in the center of God's will. That's crazy. Let's just be honest. I know we're in church. That's crazy. Brother is trapped. Brother is stuck. But he's right in the center of the will of God. I mean, we have to answer this question, true or false. It's possible to suffer in the middle of God's will. Okay, so you can say amen, but you got to live that out. We can say amen, but then why do I complain so much? Right? Why? Why am I so upset? Why am I wondering where God's at when I'm suffering? If I believe that it is a true statement that you can suffer while you're in the center of God's will, what do you do when the going gets tough? When you're in the pit or you're in slavery? That's one thing. What do you do when the going gets tough? But what do you do when the going gets stuck? The answer is you keep going, amen? Because pits and prisons lead to promotion. And that's next week. But pits and prisons lead to promotion, or so Genesis Joe tells us. What's wrong? Did I say something funny? All right. Sorry. Oh, good. Pits and prisons equals promotion. So just like it happened upstairs. So he's down in the basement, in the basement precinct. And he, just like upstairs, just like in Potiphar's house, he begins to be faithful. He begins to get earned more and more trust. He begins to get more and more responsibility. And then ultimately, he's now in charge of the prison. You know, talk about the prisoners running the asylum, right? The inmates running the asylum. Joseph really is running the prison. He gets to the point where he's so trusted by the warden doesn't worry about anything, and he allows everything to be run by Joseph, because Joseph has the favor of God. There's something about Joseph. There's something about his life. There's something about it. And what we know it is God was with him. Amen. But here's the thing. There's nothing different between Joseph and you. God is with you. God is with me. There's nothing different. The favor of God is upon you, even when you think you're suffering. So church, while you're in prison, while you're stuck, we must ask, what is God up to? When we're stuck and we feel like we're in the prison days of our destiny, what do we sense God doing? Where do we see God working? How is he showing himself to us through these prison days? And we know that often when we're in prison, it's not a day or two. Prison sentences seem like they're long. And we feel like we're in this, we feel like, come on, this is in the notes. This is for free. So when we're in the pit, we feel like that's a little temporary, right? Like, I'm in the pit. I'm having a bad day. I'm having a bad week. But when you go to prison, I've never been there, but for the grace of God. But I would think that when you go to prison, it's a little longer. And so when we're in the prison, when we're stuck, where is God? And you know I'm going to tell you the answer, and the answer is he's with us. He's alongside of us. He has not abandoned us. There's two stories in the Old Testament, in the front half of the Bible, that are somewhat kind of famous for this type of idea. So there's this guy named Daniel, and he chooses to kind of honor God and not honor the world, and he's thrown into a lion's den. Right, and then there's this other story about these three Hebrew teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got funny names, but they don't want to follow the world. They want to follow God, and they're thrown into this fiery furnace. And in both of those situations, listen, if you're sleeping, you want to wake up. In both of those situations, God did not spare them. Daniel still had to go to the lions then. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego still had to go to the fiery furnace. They were not spared, but God shared in their difficulty. I'm preaching way better than you're responding. They wanted to be spared of the difficulty. But what God chose to do was share the difficulty. Daniel was joined in the den. Somebody was closing the mouth of those lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they looked into the fiery furnace. They didn't see three. How many did they see? He didn't spare them. He joined them. And that's true in Joseph's story. He was not spared being a slave. He wasn't spared going to prison. But we see very clearly in the scriptures that God joined Joseph in the prison. He shared in the prison experience. I mean, we can hear if Bryce was in the prison and not Joseph, Bryce would have been saying, Lord, get me out of here. I don't belong here. You have great things for me to do. Not getting anything done here. How am I getting anything accomplished inside this prison? But that's not Joe. Joe is way better than Bryce. Because here's the thing. Joseph wasn't looking for God to get him out. He was looking for God while he was in. Maybe when we're talking about destiny, when we're talking about the prison days, towards destiny. Maybe the most important of days towards our destiny are not where we are or even how it's going. Maybe the most important thing is who is with us. That's maybe the most important thing. See, because not being spared, but the crisis being shared brought destiny advancement for Joseph. And let me explain to you how that happened. He got closer to his destiny because he wasn't spared. Because the crisis was shared, he got closer to his destiny. Number one reason why, because Joseph was prepared for future tasks. So God had something more in store for Joseph. And I'm readily admitting that I'm reading between the lines here. So this is not the truth. This is Bryce's commentary. Joseph was prepared for future tasks. He had to learn the language. He's in Egypt, right? He just came to Egypt. He didn't know the language. He didn't know the culture. He didn't know how the government worked. And so while he's in prison, God is preparing him for this future task. Because he's going to be, spoiler alert, he is actually in the end, he is promoted to second in command to Pharaoh. Like, he's in charge of everything. We're not just talking about his little family. We're not talking about the prison. We're talking about all of Egypt. At the end of the story, Joseph is second in command. The only one that's higher than Joseph is Pharaoh of Egypt. And so he had to be prepared for this future task. Number two, Joseph was removed from the temptation of Mrs. Potiphar. Now, I know that seems drastic, but it was effective. Lord, protect me from this woman. He took care of it. Because here's the thing. The bars and the chains were not changing God's will for his life. Just kept Mrs. Potiphar from him. She couldn't find him. She wasn't allowed in the prison. And so when you pray, listen, be careful what you pray for. Lord, I don't want this in my life anymore. He might take care of it. He might send you somewhere else. Be careful what you pay for. Because he's going to take care of it. He just may not take care of it the way you want him to take care of it. He didn't want to be tempted by Potiphar's wife anymore. And he's not. Not anymore. Thirdly, we see that the reason why he wasn't spared and it was a shared crisis is because he had to be in that prison in order to have this divine appointment with a man who was going to introduce him to Pharaoh. Now, I haven't told you the rest of the story yet, so if you're not familiar with this story, you're going to have to wait till next week or read ahead to know where we're going. But what I want you to know is this, that Joseph had a job lead. He had a job interview, and he got hired all from within the dungeon. That's crazy. You think there's nothing good that can come out of this prison experience. There's nothing good that can come out of being stuck in my present situation. And for Joseph's story, not only does he get a job lead, he gets a job interview, and he gets hired all within the dungeon. So next week we're going to talk about the days of promotion, but we need to recognize that Joe gets promoted even while he's in prison. See, because here's the thing, church, nothing changed in Joseph's situation. He's still in prison. They're still the same inmates. It's still the same warden. But because of the favor of God, everything changes for Joseph. Because Joseph began to change while he was in the prison. Joe wasn't delivered in something. No, he was delivered in something. He wasn't delivered out of it. So let me explain that. Now we're moving to chapter 40. Are you still with me? Say amen if you're still with me. All right. So that's 39. So he has his interaction with the boss's wife. The boss gets upset, puts him in prison. He gets into prison, and while he's in prison in chapter 40, verses 1 through 5, he meets up in cell block P, that's cell block Potiphar. Cell block P, he meets up with two other inmates, the cupbearer, which is basically the butler, and the baker. And here's what I don't want us to miss. I know that when I'm going through things, I become very self-absorbed. And I take all my energy to try to take care of my situation. And so if these two clowns would have been put in the same prison as me, I wouldn't even have noticed them. Because it's all about me. How am I going to get out of here? What is God doing in my life? Why is God abandoning me? But what we see is that Joseph was looking beyond his misery and he helps other people. He notices in verses 6 through 8 that he notices their sad faces. So he recognizes that these other prisoners are there. He recognizes he's able to trace sorrow. He kind of knows what it looks like because he's kind of going through it himself. And so he looks across the cell and he notices these guys' faces are downcast. And he's like, what? Wait a minute. That looks familiar. Like, that's kind of how I looked, or that's kind of how they look, how I feel. And so he doesn't get stopped by his own misery, but he notices their faces. He recognizes their sorrow. And in relationship, he asks them about their disposition. He asks them about why they're sad. And in only a way that God could work it out, their problem was Joseph's greatest gift. Listen, what's your name? Joe? Oh yeah, Joe. We got this problem. Last night, we had a really bad night of sleep. Well, why did you have a bad night of sleep? Oh, we had these dreams. Genesis Joe. Dreams? You want to talk about dreams? I know dreams. I know dreams. Church, I want you to realize that God is taking you towards your destiny, but he actually might be using you in someone else's. So we cannot get so consumed with our own pursuit that we miss God's opportunity. Because it turns out that Joseph was involved in another man's destiny. He was prepared. His head was up. His eyes were open. He was prepared to serve. He was willing to exert effort for someone else, not just for himself. And church, what I want us to realize is that ministry leads to destiny. See, because without Joseph interpreting these two men's dreams that they had, he doesn't get noticed by Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't use him to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Now I'm getting way ahead of myself. But what I need you to realize is that when he was serving these men, he was getting closer to his own destiny. When he was exerting energy and serving someone else, he was actually getting closer to what God had designed him to do. And I don't want you to think that this is just a Genesis thing. God is doing that right here, right now, with you and me. There is someone in your life right now, and I mean right now, God has placed there specifically for you to help. Because you got what they need. Oh, baby, you got what I need. No, okay. I thought I might see that. Don't Google that song. When you call him the superintendent. I can't believe I just sang. Okay. You have what they need. Right? God has put them in your life because you have what they need. And so we are called to serve. We're called to minister even along our path to destiny. And so that's what Joseph does. He responds and he says in verse 8, listen, only God does interpretations. And if you just tell me your dream, we'll ask God and God will give you an interpretation. And it turns out, and I'm skipping over parts of this, is that basically Joseph interprets their dreams. And he's exactly right. And it exactly happens. One guy dies, one guy is elevated. And on the way out, the cupbearer is the one that gets elevated back to his position. And on the way out, Joseph says to the cupbearer, he says, "Hey, listen, can you remember me when you get into your spot? When it works out for you, can you remember me?" And I can just imagine Joseph getting all excited because, listen, all right, this is working out. I just gave him what I needed. He's going to do back for me. You know, I scratched your back, you scratched my back. And so what he does is he starts rolling up his bed mat. He starts collecting up his things. Because as soon as the cupbearer gets out and tells the Pharaoh, "Hey, listen, this guy I met in prison, he interprets dreams, so you can put him on your staff. It's all going to work out." And first day goes by and no word from the outside. He says, "Oh, maybe they're busy today. Maybe it's tomorrow." Tomorrow turned into next week. Next week turned into next month. 2 years later, Joseph had been faithful. He had done what he could do. His gifting was used, but there was no way out yet. He was still forgotten, overlooked, and skipped. The cupbearer didn't remember him. Church, I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but Joseph's release plan was not aligned with God's days towards destiny. See, Joseph had an idea of how he was going to get out of prison. And it wasn't God's idea. It wasn't God's plan. Church, we know that prison days can be disappointing. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks for us. We've been on Joseph for 2 weeks. It was actually 13 years for Joseph. 13 years this whole process took. But Joseph was submitted to God, and he was living the unfolding of God's plan and destiny one day at a time. Church, we all have had thoughts where, okay, this is going to be it. I think it's all going the right direction. I think it's all lining up. And then, whack! Like chutes and ladders. Back to the left. You spun the thing and it went all the way back down. Like, I was so close. If I would have just hit that 3 with a ladder instead of that 6. Let me tell you a story about two ladies called Mary and Martha. They had a brother named Lazarus. Can I keep going? All right. So they had a brother named Lazarus. And Lazarus was really, really, really sick. And they called to Jesus and said, "Jesus, can you come? Your friend needs you." Jesus says, "I'm going to come. I'm coming." But he delayed coming. And while he delayed coming, Lazarus died. And he shows up. And this is my rendition of the story, so this is not the gospel. He shows up and Mary and Martha meet him and they say, "You know what? It was all set up. If you would have shown up on the white horse and you would have saved him, this would have been made a great story. Maybe we could have like put it in a storybook and put it in a book, and then 1,000 years later people could have really been inspired by it. But too late. He died. You missed your opportunity, Jesus." Is that how that story goes? He died. But Jesus delayed. But he delayed because it was part of God's plan. Delays are not denials. And I know that's ridiculously hard to swallow for all of us. But I want you to talk to moms and dads of premature babies. They understand this truth that I'm about to teach you today. Being delivered too soon has lots of complications. When you're delivered too soon from something and you're not prepared, there's a ton of complications. So don't think the delays are denials. Delays are development. God is developing us. God is more interested in your development than he is in your arrival. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because I want to arrive. I want to figure it out. I want to get there. But it seems to me that in the Word of God, and my experience says that God is more interested in my development than He is in my arrival, even in my destiny. He wants me to get there developed than just get there. And that stinks. And I'm just going to say it on behalf of all of us. I just want to get there. I don't care how I get there. But think about that. That premature baby. You got moms on bed rest just hoping the baby will stay in for a couple more days. Maybe we can make it one more week. Because we know if it's delivered, he or she is delivered too soon, there's too many complications. All right, we're bringing this in for a landing. Let's do it this way. Do you believe we serve an all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful God? That same God that's all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful says in Hebrews 13 that He will never leave you nor forsake you. So Hebrews 12:11, can we see that back or above scripture? Maybe? No? Okay. How about I just read it from the Bible? There it is. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We don't like delays. Next one. Can you show me the next one? For James. Consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. We don't like that. We don't like trials. We don't really even like perseverance, but keep going. Next verse. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Church, that's what God's doing. That's what God's doing in Joseph's life. That's what He's doing in our life. Yeah, Joseph could have blamed his brothers in the pit. Joseph could have blamed Mrs. Potiphar for the prison, but he didn't either because he recognized that God was with him. And that God was using the pity days, God was using the prison days to get Joseph exactly where he needed to be. Final story. There was a missionary who was sent to prison in Burma. And he was thrown in the toughest prison. He was tortured. It was awful. No ministry, no fruit, nothing in all those years that he was in that prison. He was suffering from a fever. He was weak. And he received a letter from his friend. And in the letter was one question. Judson, how's the outlook? I mean, you're in prison. You're about to die. There's nothing good happening. And his response was this. The outlook is as bright as the promises. Church, I'm going to admit to you now, I'm prone to saying outlandish things. You can't tell that, right? And I'm prone to exaggerate. I'm prone to a lot of things that may seem over the top. But this, I think, is right on. The idea that if you and I walk out of here today with that on our lips, the outlook is as bright as the promises of God, our lives will never be the same. That we believe that we serve an all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful God. And that our lives, our destiny, our plan is based on Him and not on us. Things are going to work out. Things are going to work out.